Love Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Melissa with Help for HD on Blog Talk Radio. We have awesome guests today, but first I just want to tell you a little bit about where the show came from. In 2008, my son was diagnosed with Huntington's disease, more the juvenile Huntington's symptoms, and we looked and looked and couldn't find a support group. I contacted HDSA, and they were so gracious to help us get started here on the central coast of California. That's where we live. And now we're doing this Help for HD Blog Talk Radio show, which is reaching out to the world. Apparently, we're going to have some callers from Scotland and the UK today. I know we've talked to people in Canada and Japan. So this is an amazing thing to do. And our guest today is Lauren Holder, and we have another guest, Carla Gerganis. Both girls are very involved in advocacy with HDSA, the National Youth Alliance, and we're going to talk today about the National Youth Alliance and what that means for our young people. And we're also going to be talking about a bill, H.R. 678, which is a congressional bill, and we're going to be talking about how important this bill is. We need to get it passed in the Congress, which will require the Commissioner of Social Security to revise the medical criteria for evaluating disability in our Huntington's people. It's to waive the 24-month waiting period for Medicare eligibility. Is that right, Lauren?
Right. So we've got two parts to it, actually. And it's H.R. 678 in the House, and then it's actually known as the Huntington's Disease Parity Act, and we're actually trying to get it introduced into the Senate. So it's got two parts to it. It's got basically the Social Security Administration criteria is out of date, and it only recognizes the movements. And so we're trying to get that up to date so it recognizes the mental, emotional, and cognitive symptoms of Huntington's, as well as the movements, and then we're trying to get the two-year waiting period for Medicare waived.
Okay, so there's kind of two parts going on there.
Right.
Right. Now, Lauren, what have you been doing locally with your representatives, and how can we get our representatives involved so that we can get this bill passed?
Okay. Well, as far as what I've been doing with my representatives, I met with I had a long battle with my representative Virginia Fox, and got a no from her after going from 2009 into 2010, actually, and recently got a final letter. But I actually went and met with her face to face, and then did an email, and then a follow up letter, and then went to media and continued with that, and it literally took over a year to finally get a no from her. It took a while.
I don't understand that.
For her, it was more of her reasoning in the first place was that it was all about numbers, and then it became... She does not do co-sponsoring of bills. She will vote for bills once they are there, but because it's still in Ways and Means, she doesn't want to co-sponsor. So now that we are after elections and she was voted back in, I will go after her again.
Yeah.
It's just a process of you keep going. And then the other thing that I've been working on, and that really is key right there, is patience and persistence, and you keep on going. And then the other thing that I've been working on is getting Senator Burr to be the Republican lead in the Senate, because we are getting ready to introduce legislation into the Senate for the Huntington's Disease Parity Act. So
what does that take? Does that take letters or to get people...
So basically what I did there is back in right before convention this year, so right before the Huntington's Disease Society of America convention this year, I went up to Washington, D.C., and I met with his medical liaison.
Ooh.
And I met with actually Senator Hagan's medical liaison, who's the other senator for North Carolina. And we had actually asked Senator Burr to introduce legislation into the Senate for a National Huntington's Disease Awareness Day, which he did for us, and yeah. that was passed. So I went up there and talked with his medical liaison about, you know, if he would be willing to possibly introduce legislation into the Senate, and also to thank them for introducing, you know, for Huntington's Disease Awareness Day, but to see if maybe they would be willing to do for Huntington's Disease Parity Act.
Mm-hmm.
After meeting with the medical liaison, I actually decided to follow up with him down in North Carolina, and I met with him face-to-face and spoke with
him.
Do what?
Did he take a break and then you got to meet with him in your hometown or your area?
Yeah, they had a recess, and I met with him while he was down in North Carolina, and he was just so laid back, you know, and I met with him, and he basically said to me, you know, I asked him if he would be willing to be the Republican lead, you know, or consider being the Republican lead for the Huntington's Disease Parity Act and in the Senate, and obviously he knew what I was talking about because I had met with his medical liaison and
right.
And everything. And he was very, very nice about it and said, you know, we've just got to go over some of the wording with it and let me go back and talk with my medical liaison about it, see where we go from there. But he said, let me just check out the wording and see where we go.
So it wasn't a no.
No, it was not a
yeah,
no, and he actually
that was
sounded
wonderful.
Yeah, it was the big thing with him, and he wasn't worried about the Medicare part. It was just the wording on the Social
mm-hmm.
Security Administration portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that that's the portion that he was worried about? So, you know, and actually that was right before right before elections. So what's stalling us right now was the elections.
The
and
midterm
so
elections
we
kind
have
of messed up.
Do what?
A little. The midterm elections kind of messed us up with the bill.
Right, well, right, because, right, he, you know, we had midterm elections and that kind of posted everything, you know, kind of stalled everything.
So some people went out and new people came in, right? So now we have to contact the new people and get them on board as well. Is that correct?
Right. Now, but the good thing is we still do have some of those old
right.
people. And we do still have Senator Burr, who, you know, like I said, he's been great. He's been very supportive with the HD community. And, you know, I actually just contacted his medical liaison again. We should be hearing this week whether or not he'll be on board.
Wonderful.
So. Yeah, so, you know, I'm hoping to hear this week.
We'll be praying for that, for sure. And I hope that our listeners can kind of jump into that arena as well somehow. Contact your representatives, your local representatives. Try to meet with them and try to, you know, befriend them, because really until we have relationships with them, they don't really understand. A lot of people don't understand. But, Lauren, what is your involvement with Huntington's? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I actually tested positive 5 years ago for Huntington's disease, and my dad also has Huntington's. He will be 52 this year. He'll be 52 this year. And he is symptomatic and is currently in the two-year waiting period for Medicare right now, has no insurance. He has more of the mental symptoms of it and cognitive symptoms and less movements. So he has some balance issues and a little bit of movement in his hands, but other than that, he really doesn't have movements at all, but has more of the mental and the cognitive symptoms. And I tested positive 5 years ago.
Okay, so you're really on a mission here.
Yeah.
And I would say you're a pit bull with pearls. So we need people that can go in and just kind of grab a hold of people and in a nice way explain to them how important this is. I think we have a caller. Do we have a caller that wants to ask a question? Hello? I wasn't able to get their name. Carla, now can you explain, first of all, I want to introduce you, Carla Gerganis. You are with HDSA, National Youth Alliance. You are an advocacy chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you explain to us about HDSA, National Youth Alliance, and what your job is as the advocacy chair?
Okay, well, the National Youth Alliance has now this year become a committee of HDSA, and it is open to individuals ages 9 to 29, and it's really just a large youth support group for young people to get together and have someone to lean on, talk to, kind of share experiences that they have gone through and think they're the only ones, but in reality, there's a lot of people, you know, that deal with the same things. And it's just an opportunity for us to make a difference. I know when you're young, it feels like, you know, there's nothing you can do. You're a small person in a big world. But it's really an opportunity for us to do fundraising, advocacy, and just really make a difference as a group.
Now, you're involved with the advocacy portion of National Youth Alliance, which means what? Do you also do the things that Lauren does in that you contact the representatives and that kind of thing?
Yes, ma'am. I am currently working with my representative and kind of dealing with the same thing that Lauren did with Virginia Fox. It's hard to get a meeting, get a phone call. But I'm currently in that process with Representative Mike McIntyre, who went back into office this term, so that'll help us out, hopefully. But I deal also with having updates and trying to get people, youth around the country, involved in advocacy. Just giving them easy ways by emailing letters, calling their representatives, easy ways for everyone around the nation to get involved. So I deal with that also.
Now, are you working with Jane, is it Kogan?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've gone to the HDSA website, hdsa.org, and there's just a great wealth of information for our listeners. If you don't already know about that, which I would be surprised if any of our listeners don't, but in the event that you need to get additional information, go to hdsa.org. There is just so much there. You could spend days on there and not see everything. It's just an amazing, incredible website. And HDSA is an incredible organization. But Jane Kogan is the manager, advocacy, and program services for Huntington's Disease Society of America. And you girls work with her directly? Is that how it works?
Yes,
wow,
mm-hmm.
That's great. So there's a huge organization, and everything is so well organized. And, you know, for people that think they might want to get involved in some way, just know that, you know, there's a huge, huge support system and organization that's in place already, and you don't have to invent everything as you're going in.
Oh, well, that's one thing that I really wanted to mention, too, for people who are, you know, not involved in the NYA. If you go to hdsa.org, there is a take action portion of the website that if you sign up, Jane Kogan will send you an email,
right.
And or you can go to the take action portion, and it's an already generated, you know, email that you send to your representative. Mm-hmm. You just fill out the information, and it's already generated for you, and it's really fast. It takes you less than 5 minutes. And, I mean, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to do anything but fill out the information. You know, it already sends it automatically for you. You don't have to figure out who your representative is. It figures it out for
that's
you by
the, that's the great part, because how many, you know, even I was having trouble finding out, okay, who are our representatives? You know,
right.
If you're not in that kind of realm of government activities, sometimes you kind of lose track of all that. And if you do go to the HDSA.org and click on that link, you can go directly to your own representatives by just clicking a few questions, you know. And
that goes a long way. It goes a long way even just sending those emails, making phone calls, writing letters to your newspapers. You don't realize that media being involved really goes a long way as well, because your representatives know every little piece of media that's about them.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes a long way as well. Good media, bad media, anything like that. Good media, they really love that. You know, they really do, trust me. I've written letters.
Positive reinforcement.
To newspapers, and, right, wrote a great letter about Senator Burr, I mean, and I sent it straight to his medical liaison and to his office. They love it.
Right.
You know, but the greatest thing, and if you can do it, you have the ability to do it, if you can go and meet with them one-on-one, face-to-face, and say, look, see this, look at exactly what we're dealing with, and this is a disease that is directly affecting me or my husband or my child or, you know, especially youth. You know, if you're my age, I'm 25 years old, and if you've tested positive or if you're at risk, look, this is going to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that is it's affecting me. This is something that I'm going to have to look at. You know, I do not have movement, but I am already experiencing depression related to Huntington's disease. So this is something that's already going to affect me. And so I can go and sit there and say to my representative and my senator, this is something that affects me at 25 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a big difference. So we as people who have tested positive, as people who are at risk, as caregivers, we need to go to them and show them as their constituents and say, this is what we're dealing with, and we need you to speak up for us and do something about this now.
That's what they're elected to do. Is that correct?
Right. And when they can see it directly, it makes more of an impact than anything else. Because they received so many letters, so many phone calls, so many things that, yes, you know, it's going to help. But when they can see it head on, it makes so much of an impact. It's so much more. When I saw Senator Burr, and he, you know, he asked me, he said, well, do you work for HDSA? And I said, no, I'm a volunteer. And he goes, well, how does Huntington's affect you? I said, I tested positive. He goes, oh.
Yeah, that's
I had no idea.
Different story.
And it's like, it's amazing to him. And he sat there and he started asking me so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he knew that my dad was affected,
mm-hmm.
you know, because his medical liaison told him that.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to sit there and go, oh, well, I didn't know that you were affected. And he started asking me questions.
Right.
And he wanted to know more because it completely changed everything, because he was sitting there looking at me as a person affected. So it makes a difference.
Wow. So it's best to just get in their face and, in a nice way, meet with them and explain things to them.
No, absolutely.
It's always better to meet in person, I think, and start developing those relationships. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do it, do it. If not, then certainly send those emails, make those phone calls. I think, you know, one-on-one on phones as well is a whole lot better than anything if you can't do anything else, too, because they're hearing your voice. They're hearing the emotion. Emotion gets to people. you know, if you can do that too. Get on the phone, make the phone call.
So we're not really starting over with the new crew, government crew, but
no,
there
no,
are.
I mean, we're going to have
still a lot of work to do. So
right, I mean, we're going to have some new people, and so we're going to have to educate some. We're going to have to educate those new people, but we still have a lot of those old people who know, and so we're going to have to go back and just say, hey, you know, we've come to you already. We've talked to you about this. Would you? We co-sponsor, obviously, we've had to go back and we've got to redo this. We know that you had your we've had your support before. Could we just get you to re-co-sponsor on this? And then for the people that we have to now educate, we just go in and we educate them.
Right.
So,
so Lauren, what you have some plans. What are your plans to get more attention to this situation? Are you planning some events, or what are you planning to do?
Okay, so my big thing for 2011 would be, so I'm kind of doing two things at once, I guess would be my good way of explaining it. Yeah. So my big thing would be I'm going to do a benefit dinner to raise funds for Huntington's. But I'm planning on inviting Senator Burr and the representatives of North Carolina to the event to help raise awareness and educate about the HD Parity Act at the same time. And so try to kind of do both at the same time.
And so do you have that planned out? Are you working on the plans now?
I'm working on the plans now. I'm hoping for March or April for the event, and it's going to be probably a big thing. It's going to be a big undertaking. So,
Now, when is the national?
That's a good one.
When is the National HD Awareness Day?
That is it's in June.
It's in June.
June 20. I can't remember the exact date, but it's in June.
Okay. Now, how can people get a hold of you if they want to ask questions, or how can people get a hold of you? And then we'll talk to Carla a little bit more about how people can get a hold of her and get some ideas of how to go about doing all this good stuff.
Best way to get a hold of me is via email at laurenholder@gmail.com.
And
then somebody needs
R-E-N
Holder. LaurenHolder at gmail.com.
Okay.
And then if you need my phone number, then I can certainly send it to you.
Okay,
to
now you're
you.
Also, are you also, you're also on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook all the time. So you can always get me on Facebook.
Okay, so you can go to Lauren Holder on Facebook as well and send her a little message that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I don't answer on Facebook, I will get back to you because I tend to leave my computer for a little bit and come back.
You're very good about that, I have to say. You are on top of it. I'm so impressed with all the work that you're doing, and you're just an amazing person. I'm really pleased that you were able to be on our show today. And Carla, you're an amazing person too. I looked at the HDSA.org website under National Youth Alliance, and there you are. You have a little bio on the website, which is very cool. And so you've been with the National Youth Alliance for 1 year as advocacy chair. Is that correct?
Right. I was just elected in June at this past
election.
Convention.
Wow.
Yeah, so we will be
works.
The current... well, it's all voted on by the committee members or by the NYA members. We do it on NYA Day, which is always the day before the official convention starts on Friday. And we have nominations. Our fellow NYA members nominate, or you can nominate yourself. You campaign, do a little two-minute speech, and then it's voted on. So it's a good way to see that the members get involved, and so you're elected by the NYA members, so you know that, you know, you have to stay true to them and kind of pull your weight. So what
is your involvement? I mean, how did you become involved in HDSA NYA?
Well, my aunt was diagnosed with Huntington's now about 15 years ago, and she has since passed. But it originated with my granddad, and he passed away when he was in his 50s. The doctors told him that it was not hereditary. It was, you know, our family would never have to worry about it until my aunt was diagnosed. And after my aunt was diagnosed, my dad was diagnosed probably about 8 years later. And he, like Lauren's dad, experienced a lot more emotional and psychological effects rather than physical and movement. And he actually passed away in 2003. He committed suicide. So there's a lot of factors that go into HD that everyone needs to be aware of. So after that, in 2003, I kind of put it on the back burner for a while. I didn't really want to deal with it. I didn't want to talk about it until my aunt passed away in 2006. And at that point, I was like, something has to be done. You know, my family is dwindling quickly. So I researched it on the computer and found HDSA. I really knew nothing about it, nothing about the NYA. Flew out to Milwaukee for the first convention and fell in love with it. Met some members of the NYA and just knew that that was an organization that I needed to be a part of. So since then, I've, you know, played small roles in the NYA. And this year I really felt like I wanted to be more actively involved. So that's where the NYA Advocacy Chair came in.
That's amazing.
And I have to say that you're doing an awesome job, Carla. Like, you've been amazing. So,
well, thank you very much. I get a lot of my inspiration from you, so.
We all kind of hold each other up, right?
Absolutely.
When was the convention this year?
It was in June, the end of June.
Is it always in June?
For the most part, yes, ma'am. It is usually, it varies. It's usually a weekend in June, though.
Okay. So if people want to go to convention, they would just go to hdsa.org and look and see when the next convention is and then sign up. Are there limitations or anything about signing
no
up?
No limitations on going to the convention. The NYA does offer scholarships to the convention.
But you
must be an active member, and you must have shown some type of advocacy or fundraising throughout the year. And there are other qualifications that go into that. But we do offer scholarships full and half. And this past year, I want to say we gave like 40 scholarships to help NYA members come to convention. So that's been a really positive thing that NYA has brought to the table.
We're just about ready to go off the air right now, but I just wanted to say thank you to both of you girls for coming on the show. And we're going to keep talking after we go off the air because it's recorded. And those that want to go to the on-demand afterwards can just click on the link. And there toward the middle of the page or bottom of the page are on-demand episodes. You can click on that and listen, I think, for up to 2 hours. We don't normally go that long after the show ends, but again, I just want to tell everyone thank you so much for joining us today, and we can contact these girls through HDSA NYA. Carla, do you have another contact?
Yes, ma'am. I'm also available on Facebook, Carla with a K, and my email is k_paige2@yahoo.com.
Great. And your last name is Gurganus, G-U-R-G-A-N-U-S.
And yes, ma'am.
Again, my name is Melissa. This is Help for HD, and thank you so much for joining us today, and we look forward to Our next show will be Monday next week, 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's California time, so you need to adjust for your time zone. And we look forward to the next few shows. And, girls, thank you again. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and keep talking. The show will go off in just a couple seconds, but I'm just kind of more interested in finding out more about NYA and getting involved. My son is 30, so I don't know that he would be able to get involved in NYA, but your age range is 9 to 29, is that what it is?
Yes, right. Ma'am, and that's not, you know, set in stone. We do that because it's, we like to say it's a youth organization, and we like for to get the younger kids involved also. So having such a wide age range has kind of helped that too. And we really welcome everyone, but that's
okay.
What we say outwardly.
So it's not a set.
Right.
You have to be
right.
Between 29.
Right.
Okay.
And I have to say that NYA was a huge help for me after I tested positive.
Really?
Yeah, because when I after I tested, it was not long after that, I went to the convention in Oklahoma City, and that's where, you know, I met everybody. And
what year was that?
Huge help. 2000 and when was Oklahoma City? 2006. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
2006 or 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have been 07.
Yeah, 2007, because it would have been... Oh, yeah, because Josh got out of the Navy in 2007. So, and it was right before we moved back to North Carolina. So, yeah, it was 2007. But...
Well,
yeah.
We haven't been able to make it to convention yet. We just found out in 2008, and my son, unfortunately, he was in a, I guess you'd say, a work accident in 2000. And so, sorry about the cuckoo clock there. he's had some other genetic problems. He has Klinefelter syndrome, which is where he has a chromosomal error, and then he also has diabetes and Addison's, which is the adrenal insufficiency. So he's got a number of pretty major conditions that are kind of comorbid, you know. They work against each other, basically. And in 2007, he fell here at home and re-injured his back. So he has two herniated discs in his back from an accident stemming back from 2000. He fell 15 feet off of a wine tank onto a onto a concrete floor, and so he's just had a lot of real difficult things to deal with, and in 2007, the doctors put him in the hospital for 3 weeks and put him on just huge, huge amounts of pain medications. But what they didn't realize is because of the Addison's, because of the lack of cortisol, these medications weren't helping him. They were making him worse. And, in fact, one of the medications he was allergic to. So he was going into seizures. So in 2007, I had to quit my job to stay home and, you know, care for him and pretty much around the clock, you know. There was just no way he was going to be able to manage his care, nor in the amount of medications that he was on. I mean, there's just no way. And so from that point, trying to get him back, get his body and mind back from all of that, in 2008, he was diagnosed with HD, and so that's when I started looking for help. And, you know, you girls were talking about HDSA, and that was one of the first places that I went was HDSA.org, and they were just so incredibly helpful, informative, just willing to help me, you know, to get something started here on the Central Coast of California. And as it turned out, we do have a sister support group in Templeton, a fellow by the name of Mike Brown, and he's going to be one of our guests, I think, on the 29th. And he'll be able to, you know, talk about clinical trials and that kind of thing coming up on the 29th. And his wife, Allie, was diagnosed several years back, and she did the clinical trial Dimebon balm.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So have
I
you
actually
able to
get
information about that?
I keep up to date on the clinical trials. I can't participate in any of the drug studies, but I participate in any observational studies that there are. So, yeah. But, and I remember you and I were talking about how your son's on Medicare, right? Or on disability.
He's on Medi-Cal.
Right.
It took 4 years to get him on disability, SSI disability. We went through several denials and appeals and adjudicational hearing. And, I mean, I did all the work up until the very end when we had to go to the adjudication hearing. I hired an attorney because I knew that, you know, you need to go in with all the guns when you're going in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be locked and loaded because if you don't, you may end up, you know, being denied again. And the crazy thing about it is here he has Huntington's disease. He's symptomatic. And they didn't even award the disability on the Huntington's. They awarded it on the Addison's, which blew my mind, you know, because the Addison's is treatable. You know, the Addison's, you can take medication and control the cortisol and, you know, but the Huntington's is not. So, you know.
Right, which is what we were talking about, is that right now if you try to get it for Huntington's and you don't have movements, there's no way that you can get approved for Huntington's, get disability approved for Huntington's. It's got to be a secondary condition.
Right.
So,
right. My aunt went through the same situation. It took them forever to get her on disability, and even during the process, I mean, she had to sell off all of her assets. She could have literally nothing in her name to get any kind of help, disability, anything. So I understand where you're coming from on that, too.
Now, this was your aunt or your mom?
My aunt.
Oh, your aunt. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much that needs to be done, so much work to do, and I think, you know, if we can all work together for the same goals, I think we can really kick this thing in the rear and get things moving, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I do, yeah.
Yep.
So what's next on the agenda for NYA? Do you have plans for the next year? Do you have an agenda or...
We do. Currently, BJ is our fundraising chair, and he is working on the fundraiser Hearts for Huntington's to do during the month of February. It's a real easy fundraiser. If anyone has ever seen the tennis shoes that they sell for the JDRF, it has a similar meaning. Oh. You sell hearts for $1. Anyone can sign them just to kind of decorate and make Huntington's aware. So BJ's working on that for February. And we also have found out that we get, NYA gets the opportunity to have a person appointed to help with planning the educational tracks for youth at the convention. So that's a really big step for us because in the years past we haven't had the opportunity to have sessions that have been created just for us. We've kind of had to fit in wherever we thought sounded good. So this year we have that opportunity. And then we also are constantly looking for people to get involved on advocacy, fundraising, anything like that. So
right.
So we stay pretty busy.
Yep.
Is that like a monthly fundraiser agenda or...
We don't as of now. We have, so far this year, we have done a friendraiser, which is trying to get more people involved with the NYA, because as BJ said last week, we currently have just over 220 members, and in the grand scheme of things, the youth are affected by this disease across the nation. That's nothing. So in order to really generate a good funding for scholarships, and we try to get more people involved in the NYA. And we're also active in supporting walks that are close to us or any kind of fundraisers that are close to us. I attended Lauren's walk in October, and I know on the same day there was another walk in Phoenix where another few of our members participated. So we're constantly doing things like that.
That's wonderful. We're going to have our very first walk in Santa Maria on May 21st. It's a Saturday. It'll be at Waller Park here in Santa Maria. So I'll be sending out that information. We're working with Karen Freyas. Have you worked with her in the past?
She's with I have not.
She's the operations person.
I have.
Have you? I think she's currently with this as well. So I'm very excited about doing a walk here. We know we've had other walks here, the Cancer Society, the Alzheimer's Association, you know, their memory walk. They had theirs this last October. And so there's a real kind of community out there that want to support a cause like Huntington's, like the other causes. And we just need to kind of get out there and spread the word about Huntington's. Do you think it's just been a closeted disease for so long that people are not aware still?
Well, I think the great thing about the NYA too, and about the younger generations as well, is that it doesn't seem like we're as afraid to get out there and speak up, and that's something that I've really noticed about NYA.
And that's what it takes to kind of get that energy going. I think it's all about information and energy out there and enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And now I noticed, Lauren, on your Facebook page, I was looking at your interests, and I thought that you had mentioned you did a skydiving fundraiser.
I did.
Tell us about that. I'm curious.
I
would be scared to death to do that.
I went skydiving for the NYA.
Oh, wow.
And raised $1,100. 70% of that went to NYA, and the other percent, it went through another nonprofit organization called Skydive for Free.
Oh, wow.
So basically I raised $1,100 and went skydiving for Huntington's disease, and I got on the news for that one.
I bet you did.
that was probably my best fundraiser ever because it was the most fun.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So I had a blast, and I got the idea actually from the UK because they were trying to do like simultaneous jumps out there.
Ooh.
And I was like, you know what? They're not doing anything like that here, and I want to do it. So I decided that I was going to do it, and I did it, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I want to go again. I was going to do it again this year, but I get migraines, or I was getting migraines, and I couldn't do it until I got my migraines under control. So hopefully this next year I'll be able to do it. So
that's exciting. Well, there's just so many things to do that, you know, if you think about it, what kind of things interest you? What makes you happy? What do you like to do? And then turn it into an event, you know? I think it'd make it a
lot more fun. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You find something that you love. And Shauna Martin, who just blows me away, I think that's something that she does is just she finds things that she loves and she does it. And she's a huge inspiration to me for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do skydiving, and I did. I heard they were doing it, and I was like, I'm going to do that here. You know, if they can do it, I can do it. And so I did, and I absolutely loved it, and I want to do it again, and I'm going to do it again. I've got to pick a date, I guess, in 2011.
Yeah, that's it. Just put it on the calendar and it'll happen, right?
Yeah, that's what it's about. And then I've got to find something else that I really want to do and go for it then, too.
Well, I know so. You also like scuba diving. Maybe you
I
could do scuba diving.
I've done
for,
that too.
Have you done a fundraiser for that?
I have not. I've not turned that one into a fundraiser yet.
I call them fundraisers, you know, because they're fun.
Yeah, well, see, and if I could figure out how to turn swimming with dolphins into a fundraiser,
ooh,
I think I would do that, too.
Oh, I would do that.
Do you have a marine facility near you?
No, but I would go down to Florida for that one because my parents live in Florida. But I have been swimming with dolphins, too, and I love that. I mean, that's like it's amazing. So if I could figure out how to do that one and make that a fundraiser, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I think we just planted that little seed in your brain.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, she's not busy enough as it is.
Who has time to work?
Oh, Lord, yeah, I know, right? Got to fit work in there sometime.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
I'm sitting at work talking right now, so.
Well,
do what?
I
what did
I'm
you say,
sitting
Carla?
At work talking right now, so.
Are you? Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
We don't want to get you fired, that's for sure.
Well,
you, girl,
you put your priorities in line.
I have priorities here. I really appreciate you girls coming on the show. And for those that are listening to the on-demand episode, you know, we let that go for, you know, quite a while. But, you know, you can reach me anytime through helpforhd@yahoo.com. And I will get back to you as quickly as possible. I'm also on Facebook. It's HDSGCC and then CA for California. So you can go to Facebook and find me there. Our support group here is Santa Maria Huntington's Disease Support Group Association, and we meet on the fourth Thursday of every month at Marion Medical Center. It's our local hospital. And I'm trying to work with HDSA right now to become an affiliate and then eventually become a chapter here. We want to have a center of excellence here in Santa Maria. So, you know, that's kind of one of our dreams and a goal. That it's a long-term goal, but, you know, we just got to take one step at a time, baby steps, I guess, and just keep working toward the goal, and eventually you'll get there, right?
Absolutely.
I forgot to mention, you both, you girls are Mary Kay ladies. Is that correct?
We are.
Yeah.
Now, yay, Mary Kay. I love Mary Kay. Now, are you donating a portion of your sales to HDSA or NYA, anything like that?
I originally was donating a portion to, there's an organization here called North Carolina Center for the Care of Huntington's Disease.
Oh, wonderful.
And, yeah, it's a new organization, and so I was originally donating a small portion to them.
Mm-hmm. You think maybe you could have a Mary Kay event or a fundraising event, or is that something that you girls might think about doing?
I have thought about that, I've thought about it. That's about as far as it's gone. But, no, it is a really good idea. I just haven't put it together with everything else going on. I just haven't done that together yet.
You girls are really busy, so I can sure appreciate that. But I'll let you girls go. And, Lauren, I tried to increase the live time on this show, and it didn't let me. I thought it did, but it didn't. So if we wanted to schedule the show to be longer than 30 minutes, it'd have to go to 3 o'clock California time. So I don't know if that would be something that you girls might want to participate in at a later date, but I'm sure we'll be inviting you back on the show when you have new updated information and that kind of thing. So, and then I just talked to BJ earlier, and we're looking at the possibility of Lundbeck as a sponsor. So I'm going to be working on that this week, and hopefully, you know, we can kind of expand the show a little bit and do some outreach and promotional work on the show, too. So that's another possibility.
Great.
So, Yeah, so thanks again, and we'll be talking, and it's wonderful having you on the show. So you, go, you girls take care, and keep up your hard work, because we need you.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.